course my phone's ringing. All right, good morning, everyone. This is the Wednesday, June 24th morning session of the Portland City Council. Carla, good morning. Please call the roll.
Good morning, Mayor. It's Keelan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Keelan. Good morning. Hardesty, you Daly?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. And Commissioner Hardesty has an excused absence today. Colleagues, under Portland City Code and state law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the Council are attending remotely by video and teleconference, and the City has made several avenues available for the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. The meeting is available to the public on the City's YouTube channel, eGovPDX, www.portlandoregon.gov/video, and, of course, Channel 30. The public can also provide written testimony to the Council by emailing the Council Clerk at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. The Council is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact and to promote physical distancing. Pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communications. Thank you all for your patience, your flexibility, and your understanding as we manage through this difficult situation to do the City's business. And now I'll turn it over to legal counsel. They'll read the rules of order and decorum. Good morning.
Good morning. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. The published council agenda at portlandoregon.gov/auditor contains information about how and when you may sign up for testimony while the City Council is holding electronic meetings. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When your time is up, the presiding officer will ask you to conclude. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being placed on hold or ejected from the remainder of the electronic meeting. Please be aware that all council meetings are recorded.
Very good. Carla, first up is communications. Please read item 495.
Request of Donna Cohen to address council regarding St. John's Truck Strategy Phase 2 project. This communication has withdrawn their request today.
100 is 5. Yeah. I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Donna Cohen has withdrawn her request.
All right, very good. And we're still a couple of minutes early before the first time certain, and we have no consent agenda. Could you please read item 500?
Amend intergovernmental agreement with Metro to accept an additional $80,000 and extend the expiration date for administration of the Master Recycler Program.
Colleagues, this is a second reading of a non-emergency ordinance. We have already heard both the presentation as well as public testimony on this item. Is there anything else anybody would like to ask about this particular item before we call the roll? Hearing none, please call the roll.
You Daly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted, and I have stalled long enough that it is now 9:35. Can we please read item number 496?
Appoint Serena Studemeyer-Wesley and reappoint Francesca Gambetti and Peter Platt to the Prosper Portland Board.
Colleagues, today I am pleased to announce my recommendations. My recommendation to nominate Serena Studemeyer-Wesley to serve on the remainder of the term of Dr. Alicia Moreland Capuia, who is moving to Massachusetts with her family after 4 years of service on the Prosper Portland Board. As you can see from her bio and statement of interest, Serena is a Portland native, and she's had a very distinguished career in community engagement and education. and she currently serves as the Youth Development Director with the Oregon Department of Education. Today, I'm also nominating to renew the three-year term of Francesca Gambetti and Peter Platt, who have both served on the Prosper Portland Board with dedication and unique perspectives. With that, I'd like to ask Serena, Francesca, and Peter to say a few words. And I see Serena, where are you? Let's see here.
Right here.
There you are. You're over to the left. Hello, Serena. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to finish out Alicia's term. It's really an honor to do that. And I am very excited about working with Prosper Portland and you all. And I look forward to the great work that we have ahead of us.
Thank you, Serena. We appreciate your willingness to step forward. Francesca, good morning.
Found my mute button. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity. It's been a real honor to serve on this board for the past few years. I think Prosper is doing just such important and impactful work to help bring an end to systemic racism and build an equitable economy. I've just been so impressed with the bold leadership and the incredibly talented staff and the real commitment that the organization has demonstrated in using urban renewal and other resources to make positive and lasting change in our community. So I'm really looking forward to another term, and I'm excited by the opportunity to serve alongside Ms. Studemeyer-Wesley.
Thank you, and we appreciate your stepping forward as well. And Peter, last but not least.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Mayor and Commissioners, hi. Thank you again for being reconsidered and reappointed to this important role. I think the impacts of the COVID pandemic and the ongoing protests and demonstrations against institutionalized racism have revealed to all of us the true scope of inequity in our society and the degree to which public institutions like Prosper have a big role to play in continuing to repair, build, and strengthen trust within our communities and stakeholders in order to fulfill the equity-focused mission. So I'm very honored and pleased to be able to help out with that. Again, as I stated 3 years before, my focus will continue to be to listen to the voices from our communities of culture within our hard-hit yet still fighting small business community, and continue to focus on job creation and sustenance at the small business level, which I believe continue to be essential components of economic and cultural resiliency, and are essential to help underwrite creation of wealth and stability, particularly in our lower income communities. So I commend the staff at Prosper Portland for their dedication, professionalism, and talent. I think they are an exceptional group of people, and I'm happy to work with them and welcome Commissioner Serena Studemeyer-Wesley to the team. I look forward to working with you as well. And thank you again for the opportunity.
Thank you, Peter. We appreciate it. We appreciate your continued service as well. Colleagues, any follow-up or questions or thoughts for our three nominees? I'll entertain a motion in a second.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Udaly moves the report. Commissioner Fritz seconds the report. Carla, please, or Keelan, sorry. Good morning, Keelan. Please call the roll.
Udaly.
Well, thank you, everyone, for your willingness to serve. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, first, thank you to Dr. Alicia Mullen-Capier for her service on the board. She's done an outstanding job, not only at Prosper Portland, but also in our community. And I'm sorry to hear that she's moving elsewhere, but I hope she'll be back. And I know that she'll represent Portland well wherever she goes. And thank you very much, Serena, Francesca, and Peter, for your willingness to serve. This, as you know, is a huge commitment of time, and it's also really important. So it's wonderful that you are willing to dedicate yourselves to continuing the work of making Prosper a more equitable and progressive organization and under Director Brannan's leadership. So thank you, each one. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, I'm very excited about these nominees, and I appreciate your willingness to step forward. Serena, welcome, and Francesca and Peter, thank you again. And I also want to extend my sincere gratitude to Dr. Alicia Moreland Capuya, who has done a fantastic job in her capacity. Oregon's loss is Massachusetts' gain, and we so appreciate everything she has done. And we know that the current nominees are going to continue that outstanding work. I also just want to acknowledge, in this time when racial justice is front and center and elevating Black voices has become something that the community expects and demands of every action that we take, Prosper Portland has actually been in the lead on this issue for some time. And the way we have reimagined what development looks like is we've thought about how prosperity can and must be shared by all Portlanders, how we rethink the way the development must take place so that those who are the most impacted are also those who have the most opportunity to gain from the developments that are being considered. And as I think about the weighty projects that are yet ahead of us, including the Broadway corridor, number one, it is both daunting, the work list, but number two, it's really exciting and energizing, and you're going to be there front and center in helping this council to make good decisions along the way. So thank you all. I'm very happy to vote aye. The report is accepted and the appointments are approved. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item is item number 501, please, Keelan.
Authorize revenue bonds in an amount sufficient to provide not more than $11 million to finance the integrated tax system project.
Colleagues, the revenue division has been engaged in replacing the city's multiple legacy tax administration databases with a single commercial off-the-shelf system since back in 2019. The legacy systems are in some cases over 20 years old, are based on outdated technology, and must be replaced. 20 years old, by the way, in IT is 100 years in human years. The new system will provide better customer services, more capability around tax collection for the city, county, and other stakeholders, better security and disaster recovery. It will also meet IRS requirements for the safeguarding of federal taxpayer information, otherwise known as FTI. The Integrated Tax System, or ITS, is expected to go live, phase one, this year. Phase two is the stabilization period ending on June 30th, 2021. The Integrated Tax System, or ITS, is expected to go live. I'm sorry, I'm reading the same sentence twice, that's why. The City Council authorized the ITS budget and contract back in 2019. This included an ongoing CAL adjustment in the revenue division budget to cover the city's share of the repayment of the bonds before us today. There is no additional budget impact for approving this item. The City Council also directed the revenue division to negotiate with Multnomah County and all other stakeholders with taxes and fees on the new system to help pay for the system and their share of the bonds. Those negotiations, I'm pleased to say, have been successful. Bonds and other ITS costs will begin to be repaid in the fiscal year 21-22. The county has agreed to pay for its allocated share of ITS, and we thank the county for that. The IGA reflecting this will come to council next week. The new system is expected to generate additional tax revenue by leveraging federal taxpayer information to identify non-compliant taxpayers. The county will pay for its share of ITS with these additional revenues. And now we have, I see Thomas Lanham is here. I don't know if Matt is also here. Yeah, Matt Jarrock.
Yes.
Thomas Lanham are both here to present. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Matt Jarrock, the debt manager in the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. As you mentioned, I'm joined by Thomas Lanham, director of the new division as well. As mentioned in the introductory remarks, the Integrated Tax System Project, which is also referred to as the ITS project, is a key revenue division project that replaces various legacy tax systems with one cohesive tax system package. The project was approved by City Council in June 2019 and has been cash funded through its Phase 1 development. Under the project plan, the majority of remaining costs are to be financed through project completion. This ordinance before you authorizes that financing with the issuance of revenue bonds in an amount of up to $11 million. Under the provisions of the ordinance, not more than $10 million of bond proceeds may be directly related to costs of the ITS project. Additional funds under the authorization will be used to pay financing costs, including costs of issuance and potentially capitalized interest if needed. Note that the fiscal year 2021 adopted budget allows for approximately $9 million to be borrowed, so loan proceeds will be capped at this level unless there is future budget modification approved by City Council. Under the plan of finance, the proposed bonds will be initially issued in the form of a line of credit, which we anticipate closing this coming August. Once all costs associated with the project are incurred, the financing plan anticipates the issuance of long-term bonds to refinance the line of credit balance at that time. The term of the long-term bonds is expected to be approximately 10 years. Debt service will be paid from appropriated general fund revenues, which will include annual cost recovery revenues received from local taxing jurisdictions that utilize tax administration services of the revenue division. That concludes the overview of the ordinance, and I'm happy to answer any questions related to the financing, and Thomas Landon is on standby as well.
Very good. Colleagues, any questions? I don't see any at this point. Keelan, is there any public testimony on this item?
No one signed up.
Very good. There being no further business, this is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Thanks, gentlemen, and I'll have much more to say on this next week as we take up the county IGA as well. I want to thank you for your hard work on this.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We will move on to item number 502, please. That's a second reading.
Authorize a contract with Kennedy Jenks Consultants, Inc. for the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant Pipe Condition and Risk Assessment Program for a total not to exceed amount of $2,500,000.
Colleagues, this is a second reading of a non-emergency ordinance. We had what I thought was a very thoughtful and very interesting presentation on this. We took public testimony. We are now ready to take the vote unless there's any further business on this particular item. Seeing none, Keelan, please call the roll.
Hugh Daly.
Aye.
Fritz.
It was indeed a very interesting presentation. Thank you. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. We'll move on to another second reading before we can get to the time certain. Please read 504.
Approve the designation of 13 trees as City of Portland Heritage Trees and remove the heritage tree designation from one tree.
Speaking of great presentations, this is also a second reading. We heard a very provocative and interesting presentation and took public testimony on this item as well. Is there any further discussion on it before we call the roll? Seeing none, Keelan, please call the roll.
Hugh Daly.
Well, I always enjoy this presentation, and I want to thank the Parks Department and Urban Forestry Commission once again, and I vote aye.
Fritz.
I agree with my colleague. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you, everyone who worked so hard on that one. And the last second reading is item 506.
Amend Street Access Code and Transportation Administrative Rules to align with changes to the Residential Infill Project.
Colleagues, any further discussion on this item? This is also a second reading. Keelan, please call the roll. Commissioner Daly?
Mayor, this was item 506.
506, correct.
We are actually rescheduling this item for July 8th for final vote.
Oh, okay.
I can vote on it today, Commissioner. Commissioner, I'm willing to vote for it today.
Okay.
Commissioner Daly, it's your call.
Take that to be you'll vote in support of it today.
I will.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's go.
All right. Elin, please call the roll.
You, Daly.
Well, I don't have any closing remarks prepared because I thought I was going to be pulling this item, but I want to thank everybody for their quick and creative work on solving this problem, and I vote aye.
Fritz?
So if Commissioner Hardesty had been here, I would have voted no on this. I'm very concerned that this allows developers of very expensive housing and lots of very expensive housing to pay the same fee as somebody who is developing a modest single home. And also it doesn't solve the problem that we're trying to solve in the residential infill project of providing homes where people have streets in front of them. And since it is a obviously I was involved in setting up this program under the previous administration. And so I do believe it's better than what we've been doing in the past in terms of waivers. It has some troubling aspects, and I know that you will all be working on it more as time goes by. It was always kind of intended to be a bit of a pilot to find out how does it work, and it has had some good benefits, and therefore I will vote aye.
Wheeler.
I appreciate what Commissioner Fritz just said. This is not the perfect, this is the good, or at least it's the better. It's a step in the right direction, and therefore I will support it. But Commissioner Fritz's admonition is correct. This will be an iterative process. This will be an evolving process. It's my expectation that at some point revisions to this will be back before the council, but I'll support it because it is definitely a step in the right direction. And I'm happy to vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. And now we can go back on the agenda to the two time certain items, 497 and 498. It's my understanding they will be pulled, but we need to read them for the record, Keelan, both 497 and 498.
Item 497, authorize $1,623,850 for grant agreements to be divided among the five nonprofit neighborhood district coalitions to support neighborhood associations and community engagement activities from July 1st, 2020 through June 30, 2021. And item 498, authorize $851,646 for grant agreements with Center for Intercultural Organizing, Unite Oregon, Latino Network, Immigrant Refugee Community Organization, Native American Youth and Family Center, Momentum Alliance, and Urban League of Portland for the Diversity and Civic Leadership Organizing Project for July 1st, 2020 through June 30, 2021.
Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. As a courtesy to Commissioner Hardesty, who wanted to be present for this discussion, I'm pulling these items 497 and 498 back to my office. They've been rescheduled for July 9th at 3:30 p.m. time certain.
Thank you. Keelan, could you please read item 499, second reading?
Authorize grant agreement up to $73,000 to Southwest Neighborhoods, Inc. to provide outreach, technical assistance, and community involvement for watershed projects in West Side sub-watersheds.
This item, colleagues, is somewhat related to the prior two, so I will be pulling it back to my office as well. 499 comes back to my office. Next up is item 503, please.
Adopt and authorize the submission of the Action Plan Fiscal Year 2020-21 for the Community Development Block Grant, Home Investment Partnerships, Emergency Solutions Grant, and housing opportunities for with program to the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Colleagues, the 2016 through 2020 consolidated plan is the fifth five-year plan. Consortium members also submit an annual action plan, the fifth action plan, fiscal 2020 to 2021 will be submitted this year along with any updates to the five-year 2016 to 2020 consolidated plans. Yes, there will be a quiz on that later. The City of Portland is the lead agent for the Portland Consortium, which also includes the City of Gresham and Multnomah County. In accordance with HUD regulations, the Portland Consortium is required to submit an annual action plan as a condition of receiving four federal formula grants: the Community Development Block Grant that we're all familiar with, the CDBG, the Home Investment Partnership Grant, otherwise called HOME, the Emergency Solution Grant, called the ESG, and the Housing Opportunities for Persons with AIDS, HOPWA. The action plan contains a snapshot of the community's housing and community development needs. It identifies key local priorities, and it establishes the strategies that each jurisdiction will use to address those high priority needs. The action plan also includes one-year numeric goals. Each jurisdiction will be expected to measure its progress against those goals in the consolidated annual performance report called the CAPER, which is filed in fall. HUD regulations also require each consortium receiving federal housing and community development funds to certify that it is affirmatively furthering fair housing, an issue which is of critical importance here in Portland. Due to the public health emergency, the City of Portland is the representative member of the Portland Consortium and with the responsibility to carry out the overall responsibility of the Portland Consortium. Due to the public health emergency, the federally funded projects will have activities designated to address housing, health, and community economic development impacted by COVID-19. The Home Consortium Citizen Participation Plan is amended to include reduced public comment periods in order to quickly deploy funds during a public health emergency. And with us today to make sense of everything I just said is our very able rental services manager, Kim McCarty. Kim, welcome. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, commissioners. I'm Kim McCarty with the Rental Services Office, and I do have a slide presentation, covers a lot of the things that you just relayed to the commissioners and the public. Would you like me to go through that presentation or just answer questions?
No, why don't you go through it? We're a little ahead of schedule today, so we have the luxury of time.
Wonderful. I'm going to share my screen. Okay. So, good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Kim McCarty with the Rental Services Office of the Portland Housing Bureau. Portland is the lead for the Portland Consortium that includes the City of Gresham, Multnomah County, and the City of Portland. Portland administers the home funds for all of the consortium jurisdictions and makes the federal formula grant applications for these three jurisdictions. The annual action plan and its attached certifications to affirmatively further fair housing serves as the application for these federal formula funds. This is the fifth annual action plan of the 2016 five-year consolidated plan. And this legislation authorizes the mayor to formally request the city's regular non-CARES Act federal act formula grants, sorry about that, and the Community Development Block Grant, Emergency Solutions Grant, Home, and Housing for Persons with AIDS, and it amends the associated citizen participation plan on behalf of the consortium members. Bear with me when I forget. Next slide. So as part of the public participation process this year, the jurisdiction partners held listening sessions in the fall regarding housing and community economic development. We did this in coordination with Multnomah County and the City of Gresham. The community input that was shared with the jurisdictions was important to the planning and the budget committees, and they also informed budget priorities. This spring, hearings to share the goals and strategies and actions with the community were modified to address the required distancing to protect public health. And these modifications are included in the updated community participation plan as required by HUD, and they're also included as an exhibit to the 2020 action plan application. So I wanted to share with you that annually the Portland Consortium reviews demographic and housing market data to refine our programmatic choices. This slide of Multnomah County shows that poverty is concentrated in East Portland and in East Multnomah County. And when we overlay demographic information about race, we know that people of color are disproportionately in poverty and are concentrated in these lower income areas. Then when we also add information with recent employment data from Multnomah County during this public health emergency, it shows that industries with disproportionate Black, Indigenous, and people of color employment have the highest portion of unemployment claims in Multnomah County. As a result of these findings, there will be an increased focus on strategies to improve program access and outcomes for Black, Indigenous, and people of color at risk of housing instability and displacement. So to go into more specifics about the type of federal formula grants that we receive through the consortium and through the City of Portland, there are four annual formula grants that are received. And they have specific objectives and constraints. The Community Development Block Grant is our most flexible source of funding. And you can see this year we received over $8 million in new funds. The Home Program has the objective to expand the supply of decent, safe, and sanitary affordable housing. And as a part of our over $4 million allocation this year, a portion of that is transferred through a jurisdictional transfer to Gresham and Multnomah County. And then our Emergency Solutions Grant, over $700,000 this year. The goal there is to reduce and prevent homelessness. And our HOPWA grant for housing opportunities for persons with AIDS, almost $2 million. That's shared with this, the counties throughout the region. And the purpose is to provide housing for persons with AIDS. And we do this as a regional partnership. And there's also an agency transfer with of the ESG and the HOPWA funds with the Joint Office of Homeless Services. So as part of the five-year consolidated planning process, there were three established goals. First, to increase and preserve affordable housing choice. Second, to reduce and prevent homelessness. And then third, to improve employment and household economic stability. And you'll see in the following slides where those resources, where the priorities were made. Most of it is with affordable housing, followed by preventing homelessness, and then lastly, improving employment for households and improving economic stability. And you can see there a list of the types of programs that we have supported historically. We'll go on to the next slide here. So this year, we are, over the last 5 years, CDBG and HOME has been focused on housing development and rehab services for the City of Portland. Most of the CDBG is being used for our home ownership programs that include both first-time home buyer programs and also rehab programs for homeowners that are already in their homes. And HOPWA is specific to housing for persons with age and then with AIDS, and then the Emergency Solutions Grant is specific to homelessness prevention. And when we break this down by the funding type, you can see HOME is this year is being spent mostly on new affordable housing, but also we have a significant carryover, about $4.5 million that will be spent on emergency rent assistance. And then there's a jurisdictional transfer, as I described earlier, to our partners in Gresham and Multnomah County. The CDBG funds will be spent on single family home repair, financial assistance. It's a big part of our fair housing service programs, such as legal aid services. And then there is an agency transfer to Prosper Portland for the micro enterprise, the adult workforce, and the youth workforce development. And as I said earlier, the ESG and the HOPWA funds go through an agency transfer to the Joint Office of Homeless Services. So the other part of this legislative action is to amend the citizen participation plan. We needed to do that to address the community health issues. And HUD gave us a waiver where we are allowed this year to reduce the public comment period to 5 days, to allow for virtual hearings, to reduce notification time, and make it possible that we don't have to provide hard copies or have interpersonal contact at this time. And the 2020 action plan, in addition to that update, also gave us updates to address the CARES Act funding, which is coming to the city of Portland. While this particular legislation does not contain any CARES Act funding, the supplemental federal funds associated with the CARES Act, namely the CDBG, the ESG, and HOPWA, will be used for COVID-19 rent assistance and business assistance as it pertains to and homelessness assistance as it pertains to public health types of strategies. So that concludes my presentation. So I want to let you know that the public comment period for all the consortium members is through July 7th, and I'll take any questions you may have.
Thank you, Kim. That was a great presentation on a fairly complex set of opportunities that provided a lot of clarity, and I appreciate it. Colleagues, any questions for Kim? Very good. Keelan, do we have any public testimony on this item?
No one signed up.
Very good. Well, thank you very much for this. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Thank you, Kim, for the presentation. Next up is item number 505.
Increase fee schedule for the Office of Community and Civic Life Noise Program for noise variance applications in the amount of 5% as permitted by Code Section 18.14.020B.
Commissioner Udaly, this is your item.
Thank you, Mayor. Civic Life is bringing forward this ordinance to increase the noise program rates by 5% as allowed by city code. We've done this every year. This year, Catherine Couch is here to present on the increase. I believe.
Yes, I am here.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor.
And after many, many years of knowing you, I'm very pleased that I said your name correctly, because as a Portlander, you always have to stop and wonder, is it couch or is it cooch?
It's only couch. In Portland.
I know. Well, I was born and raised here, so.
Well, I'm going to go sit on the cooch for a while.
Then. Yeah. I wanted to apologize for last time, when I said your name wrong, and I'm going to try not to do it again, Catherine.
It's okay. I'm really
welcome.
Anyway, good morning.
Morning.
Commissioners. I'm here to present our 5% annual fee increase for noise variances. We do this every year. I put this out to the Noise Review Board and put it on our webpage. Didn't hear any comments, which isn't really a surprise. Let me share my document. Okay, there we go. So the current fees are on the left side of the page, and the far right is the proposed fees. The pandemic-related stay-at-home order has upended our expectations for noise variance revenue coming in. Event variances that we're used to seeing in the summer, our busy time, have had to cancel, and we're granting refunds to applicants who request one. So that's where we are right now. We're asking for a standard 5% increase with some rounding to make whole numbers. But the one exception that we are doing this year, in the hopes of not creating barriers for those individuals and small nonprofits that may be struggling due to the pandemic we're experiencing. For these small events, they're the ones labeled all other on your sheet. We're keeping them the same because we're hoping that we can encourage small community building celebrations and events when they're allowed to happen. That's pretty much it. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Very good, colleagues. Any questions for Catherine?
Catherine, have we seen an increase or decrease in noise complaints since the shutdown?
Yes, we've seen an increase, and it's most of it, I think, you know, people have a lot of anxiety for a few months now, and they're hearing things that they normally don't hear, or, you know, if it's for a few days, they can just not deal with it. But there are things like stereos, you know, my neighbor is working on this, really neighbor to neighbor things. Yeah, lots of stereo complaints right now.
Mine is lawnmowers and leaf blowers, but
there you go.
I've gotten them to reschedule it around council, so I'm very grateful for that.
That's nice.
Thanks for being here. It's nice to see you today.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Very good.
Okay, excuse me.
Thanks.
Excuse me, I had my hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry, Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
I'm wondering how do these fees relate to cost recovery?
Well, we looked at cost recovery, and we would have to quadruple our fees in order to get there. So we're not sure how to really do that without causing shockwaves and just having people not apply for variances. It's something we struggle with.
Yeah, thank you. When I was in charge of the program, we embarked on the 5% a year as a way. That's obviously a little bit more than inflation, but it doesn't keep up with the increase in costs in the city. And the plan had been to kind of increase it more and more until we get to cost recovery, because I think most community members would believe that if you want to get the variance to be more noisy, you should pay for at least the cost of processing that. So I just hope that that will be considered as you move forward next year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. And I'm sorry, Commissioner, I didn't have my participant list up appropriately. Keelan, is there any public testimony on this item?
No one signed up.
All right, very good. There being no further business on this item, this is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. And let me just check here. I think that completes our agenda for this morning. Yes, it does. All right. With that then, thank you, everybody. We are adjourned until 2 p.m.